Yeah, just temp. Okay. Yeah, it's still down there.
Grace. Is this on? Gracie.
Come on. Do you know him? Do you know him? All right, Gene, come up here. Who knows him? Who knows him well? All right, Zeke, get up here. Give it here.
Wait, no, wait a minute. Zeke, hi, you look nice.
All right, you can talk into this one.
Are you going to tell him what we're going to do?
You're going to say the first one and stop, and she's going to do it in
one of our language.
Chin language, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. So you got to wait on her. She's a little slow, okay?
Yeah.
And she might cheat.
Okay, you got to say it loud, okay?
God first.
Pasien masa.
No idols.
Milim belauding.
Worship and rest.
Not that one. M.
Don't take God's name in vain.
Pasien min mok zat lauding.
Honor your parents.
Nule pa zat tak ding.
Did you say four constituents? Honor the Sabbath. Number six.
Don't murder.
Me tat lo ding.
No adultery.
Me dang to mo lo ding.
No, don't steal.
Na gu lo ding.
Don't lie.
Tu man lo gen lo ding.
Don't covet.
Me dang na de sak lo ding.
You didn't go sit down. All right, that was in the Chin language. My wife is fluent in English, Chin, and Burmese language, so she knows three languages. And she does some in Kachin, I think. I'm not sure about that. But she's multi-talented, yeah. Well, good morning, and thanks for worshiping with us today. We are in a series of 10 Commandments, and today we're going to do commandment number 6. How many of you have it memorized? How many of you have all 10 memorized? Both of you? Come on now. You're running out of time. You only got like 4 more weeks to get these memorized, so I want you to do that. Call them what you want. Some people call them the top 10 of God's laws, and that's fine too, because they are. They're 10 of His top. And they're found in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Need to memorize that as well. And we are going to focus on number 6. But next week is Youth Sunday. Zeke, stand up. This boy is going to preach for us next Sunday. He hasn't told me what he's preaching on yet, but he's going to be here. And the kids are going to be in charge of worship. And can I just get an amen when I say they are the future of the church? And we have to invest very wisely in them. So with that being said, turn over to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And I want to focus on verse 13. And it very simply says, "Thou shalt not murder." Now, I was raised with the King James Bible. Anybody else? And it's pretty good for a 1611 translation. Amen? Pretty good. But when we get to the Ten Commandments, I like them better out of the King James. There's just something about, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. There's something about that, and I like that. But in the King James Bible, it says in Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Now, is there a difference between killing and murder? There is. Now, Moses would take into effect not just killing a person, but it was killing a calf. It was a wartime. And you know, I want to say this, get this over with. It's okay to kill an animal because I like steak. Amen. Anybody else? And as far as wartime goes, I want you to know if there's a wartime, it's okay to kill another person. God never speaks against that. As a matter of fact, it seemed like the Israelites were always in war. They're always killing somebody. And to preserve Christianity, to preserve the Israelite people, to preserve God's laws in the Bible, sometimes we have to fight for our freedom. Can I get an amen? Those men and women laying in our cemeteries today fought for a good cause. It wasn't for nothing. And what's going on over in Afghanistan needs our prayers. But those men and women are fighting for something that has to do with freedom. And that involves all of us. It really does. So when he says kill, it's a little bit different than murder, because here's murder, write it down. Murder is premeditated killing. It is planning out that you're going to go after somebody and your intention is to take their life. You're going to cut their jugular vein. We're going to do away with them. That's an intentional intent. That is the difference between killing and murder. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because it's not necessary to focus all of our time on that. But let's look at commandment number 6. It's really pretty simple. Do not murder, or thou shalt not murder. How many of you have ever killed somebody? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever thought about killing somebody? Don't raise your hand. But if you're sitting back thinking, this commandment, I'm going to sit back and Carson's not going to say anything that's going to step on my toes this morning, I want you to know you're wrong. Because commandment number 6 has a lot to do with all of us. If you have your Bibles open or your smartphones, turn also over to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to focus on verses 21 through 22. And it says these words from the words of our Savior. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to the judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to the judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. When I was growing up, I watched the A-Team. Anybody watch the A-Team? Mr. T, we always love that. You fool. He'd always say, you fool. He'd always say it all the time. And if I ever get a chance to talk to Mr. T, I'm going to tell him, you shouldn't say, you're a fool. You're in danger of the judgment, Mr. T. Do not hit me. But it is very important that we not call anyone a fool. It is very important that we not become so angry with the brother that we wish ill effect on them, something bad for them to happen. Because if we do that, we are actually guilty of commandment number 6. Now, it's not just the fact that you take a knife or a gun and you kill somebody. It's the fact that you become angry with someone. So let me ask you this morning, have you ever been so angry with someone that you held a grudge or you wished ill will on them? Guess what? You're busted. You're guilty of commandment number 6. Now, we know that Jesus became angry. Flip over to, it's not on your pages, but flip over to John chapter 2 real quick. In verses 12 through 16, we know that Jesus became angry. Why? Because they were exchanging money in the temple courts, and he said, this is a place for prayer, not a place for you to come and gamble your money away. And Jesus became so angry that the Bible says in John chapter 2, in verse 12, that he wove a whip together with cords, and he swung them at all the people that were exchanging money in the temple courts. He was angry. So, is it wrong to become angry? Yes or no? It's okay. If it's angry for the right reason. If you know somebody that is dividing the church of Jesus Christ, I think it's okay to become angry, don't you? If you know someone that has taken the Lord's name in vain, God this or God that or Jesus this or Jesus that, it's okay for you to become angry. But here's the deal. Don't go to bed angry. Don't harbor this anger. Don't hang on to this anger, because if you do, you are in direct violation of commandment number 6. Ephesians 4:26, it's not on your outlines, but write it down. Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. And in my sermon messages for newlyweds, I will often use Ephesians 4:26. You're going to get mad at each other. You might as well get ready. Because if you don't get mad at each other, there's something wrong with your marriage. Amen? Every once in a while, you're going to get mad. But here's the deal. Don't go to bed angry. And I've used this as a personal illustration. There have been times when Ching and I stayed up very late hours in the morning trying to settle our differences. But here's the deal. It's okay to get angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't harbor that anger. Don't get up on Monday morning or Tuesday or whatever day it is and don't harbor that anger. Being angry with someone and continuing to be angry with someone, you violate commandment number 6. Because in God's eyes, being that angry with someone is the same as killing them. So commandment number 6 is a little more difficult than what you might think. So how do we avoid becoming guilty of commandment number 6? Here we go. If you're taking notes, I'll give you 3 points. Number 1, we must realize that all human beings are created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27 through 28 says, "So God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Now this morning I want you to think about the worst person that you've ever met. I want you to get in your mind that person that you cannot stand. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't do anything for this person. I want you to get that person in your mind. Because I want you to know, no matter how bad they are and no matter what they have done, as grievous as it is, they too are created in the image of God. God had a purpose for them. We talked about abortion, how sinful that was to perform abortions. And I love it when nurses are walking away from abortion clinics, don't you? And I love it when doctors walk away from abortion clinics knowing that what they're doing is a grievous sin in the eyes of God. Friends, those babies were created in the image of God. The people that are in our prisons, no matter what they've done, they are created in the image of God. And God had a purpose for their life. And yes, they might have went the wrong way and down the wrong direction, but God still loves them. And He still had a purpose for their life. They were created in the image of God. The Bible says that when God looked over His creation, it says this, and it was what? It was good. And then we get down to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And it says these words, "And Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain." He was the oldest. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to Abel. Now Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of his first fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions and some to the Lord from his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offerings he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry, and his face was downcast. Get this. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door." Now listen to this. "It desires to have you. But you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and he killed him." Now Cain's anger not only crouched at the door, but it overcame him to the point of murder. Friends, I want you to know that when you have ill will against someone, you hate someone that much that you want something bad to happen to them, even to the point of their life being taken away from them, you are in violation of commandment number 6. And God told Cain, "Do what is right." You know what? That's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to do what is right. I don't get mad, I get even. And we live in a society, a world like that, because people don't get mad, they do get even. But sometimes people do get mad, and they get angry, and they get violent, and they get raging, and they kill. Friends, it's easy to get angry and jealous and be raging and bitterness towards another person. And if we're not careful, even murder. God said this, "Get rid of those thoughts. Because if you don't, it will overcome you." The name Chris Carrier probably doesn't ring a bell to any of you. But Chris Carrier is from Cables, Florida. He was abducted when he was 10 years old. His kidnapper was angry with his family, the boy's family. So he abducted Chris. And he continually abused Chris. He would burn him with cigarettes. He would take an ice pick and he'd stab him with it. And eventually he would shoot Chris in the head. He thought he was dead, so he left him at the Everglades one day. Remarkably, Chris survived the shooting, though he lost one of his eyes. Years passed by, and the murderer was not arrested for what he had done, at least the attempted murder. Chris Carrier, a gunshot survivor and now a youth minister in Florida, searched out his would-be killer, and he was an ex-convict. Imagine that. He was 77 years old. His name, David McAllister, an ex-con. He was now in a nursing home in Miami Beach, Florida. Ironically, David McAllister was frail and blind. Chris Carrier started visiting his would-be killer. He started reading the Bible with his would-be killer. He prayed with his would-be killer. Chris Carrier would later write about his experience in the Christian Reader magazine. While many people can't understand how I could forgive David McAllister, from my point of view, I couldn't help but forgive him. If I had chosen to hate him for these past 22 years, then I would spend my time revenging. And if that were so, I would not become the man I have become today, the man who my wife and my children love and look up to, the man who God has helped become the man I am today. Could you do that? Could you become that? Could you go there? I'm not sure I could. But David Carrier saw something in, or Chris Carrier saw something in David McAllister that no one else saw, including myself. He saw that this man was created in the image of God and he deserved a second chance. I have been known to hang around people that a lot of people wouldn't want to hang around with. You've been guilty of that? It's not really guilty. But that doesn't bother me one bit. I went to a pool tournament with some guys, and I actually brought my friend along, or my wife along with me. And when we left that place, she was awed that I would hang out with these guys. And you know what I told her? I said, they need Jesus too. They need Jesus too. And the people you work with, the people you hang out with, the people you see walking down the street, I want you to know they are created in the image of God, and God has a plan for them. And we ought to include them. Amen. We ought to include them. We ought to love them. We ought to care for them. It's not always easy, but we ought to do that. Remember, when you see someone you don't like, remember that they too are created in the image of God. Number two, the second way we can keep from avoiding commandment number six is this. We must realize that the emotions of hatred and the act of murder are on the same playing field. Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, "You have heard it said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, Jesus has some rhyme and rhythm going on here. Did you catch that? Did you catch it? And if you greet other brothers, what are you doing more than others? I don't know if he meant to rhyme or not. But he not only has some rhythm going on here, he has some very difficult words. He tells me, don't hate your neighbor. He says, love your neighbor. How many of you like your neighbor? How many of you don't like your neighbor? Come on, how many of you don't like your neighbor? You're not being honest with me. But you know what? It's easy to love people that love us. It's easy to get along with people that get along with us. It's easy to go and hang out with people that it's in our groove, that act the way we act. But it's not as easy hanging out with people that don't like us. It's not as easy hanging out with people that gossip about us and say things about us that make us mad and angry and we just want to get back at them. It's not easy. I don't know if you've heard the lyrics, but it's by Jaron and the Long Road Love Band. Here's how it goes. I pray your brakes go out while you're going down the hill. I pray a flower pot falls from the windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just wherever you are, honey, just know I'm praying for you. How many of you heard that song? It's kind of funny, but it's not very biblical. Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about when he says pray for your enemies. You should not pray ill will on the people you don't like. As a matter of fact, you should pray something like this. Lord, I pray that you will touch this person's heart that I don't like. Lord, I pray that you'll bring them to repentance so that they can accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so that I can befriend them in some way, shape, or form, Lord, I pray that prayer. That's a tough prayer. Because there are a lot of people that we don't really want to be prosperous. There's a lot of people that we really don't want to be blessed. But that's a sin against what Jesus just says here. But you know what? If Jesus can go to the cross, hanging there with nails in his hands and his feet, and he can say to the Father, Lord, do not count this against them. I want you to know if Jesus can do that while hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, I want you to know that the person that I don't like that well, I can deal with that. Anyone else? You can deal with that. If Jesus can say that from the cross after everything they did for him, I want you to know we can forgive those who sinned against us. And if there was anyone who had the right to be angry, it was him. But he didn't. He forgave him, and God forgave him. And I believe that to this day, the Roman soldiers were forgiven for that sin. I believe that. Can I just remind you from what we said last week? God always gets the last word. God always gets the last word in whatever is going on in your life right now. I promise you from the bottom of my heart that on Judgment Day, God will make all things right. I got to have an amen. God will make all things right on Judgment Day. And no matter what someone has done to you, no matter what they've said to you, no matter how deep they have hurt you, I want you to know that there's room for forgiveness. Christ died for them just like he died for you. And we need to learn how to forgive. It's not quite as easy to forget. It takes time. We need to learn how to try. In 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 20, John writes these words. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or his sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or their sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. I want you to know there are people all around us. And we just soon not hang out with them. But here, we know what they look like. We know where they're at. They're right here in front of us. And if we can't love them, how can we love God? And that's what John's trying to say. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with feeling loved or accepted by God, and you're trying to place all that blame on someone else, then I want you to know you need to fall back in love with God again. Number three, the third and final way we keep from violating commandment number six is we must realize that our time is short and we must rid ourselves of all bitterness and rage before it's too late. In Romans 13, beginning with verse 8, Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loved his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other command there may be, they are all summed up in this rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding at the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. And then Paul would later write in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Then he says, be kind to one another, forgive one another, just as Christ in God forgave you. Can I ask you a simple question this morning? Are you bitter? Are you bitter? Is there someone out there that has wronged you to the point that you are bitter, you have rage, and you would like to get back at them? That is exactly what the devil wants you to think. And he keeps playing this record over and over. And I'm glad the little kids ain't here because they wouldn't know what that meant. Over and over again. And the devil's playing it over and over. And he wants you to stay mad. And he wants you to be angry. And he wants you to be bitter. And here's a choice. Write it down. Today, you can choose to be better or you can choose to be bitter. Does that make sense? You can choose to become better or you can choose to become bitter. If you become bitter, you know who you're hurting? You're not hurting the person you're bitter at. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself, and it's keeping you from becoming the person that God wants you to be because you're playing the record over and over and over. Throw the record away, amen? Just throw it away. In Matthew 5, verses 23 through 24, Jesus hits home. He says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift at the altar." So next Sunday, if I see money out in front of the money box, I'll realize that many of you have left and you're reconciled to your brother or your sister. And when you come back, you're going to take the money and you're going to put it in the offering. I don't know about that. But that's kind of what Jesus is talking about. Before he accepts your gift, you've got to accept and reconcile the brother or sister that you have ill will with. Friends, I want you to know that Jesus is not just talking about money and gifts here. He's talking about your worship. He's talking about, don't bring me your money unless you're going to bring me your heart, a heart for worship. And you can't have a heart for worship if you're bitter against somebody. And who's your neighbor, by the way? Everybody. Everybody. Especially those who have need. They're your neighbor. You need to learn how to forgive them. I want to close this morning with one of the most powerful stories of forgiveness that I know, outside of what Christ did for us. It was May 1945. World War II was now over. The Allied forces were now marching into Holland to the unspeakable joys of the Dutch people. Despite their freedom from Nazi rule, they could not help but remember all those souls that had died at the hands of Adolf Hitler and the German murderers. In the crowd that day was a survivor by the name of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie had been abused. Her sister had been abused. Her sister had even been raped. One of the things that I read about this, one of the things they used to do for pregnant women is they would sew them up so they couldn't have the babies. And they would end up dying from that infectious trying to push that baby out. Terrible. And Corrie ten Boom went through a lot of this stuff. And this was 1945, but in 1947, just 2 years later, she was asked to speak in Munich, Germany, and Corrie ten Boom did not hesitate. While in Munich, Corrie ten Boom was approached by a bald-headed man wearing a gray overcoat, and she immediately recognized who he was. You know who he was? He was one of the German guards that had abused her. In the meantime, in those 2 years since the war had been over, this guy had given his life to Christ. He'd become a Christian, been baptized into Christ. And now he stands before Corrie ten Boom with his hand reached out. And he says these words, "Corrie, I was one of those guards. Will you please forgive me?" For the longest time, his hand was extended and Corrie would not grab his hands. But finally, she prayed this prayer, "Jesus, help me. I can lift up my hand, but only you can give me the feeling of forgiveness." And as she extended her hand, an incredible thing happened. And she writes in her book, "The current started from my shoulder, it raced down my arm, and it sprang into my hands. And I could feel the warmest feeling of forgiveness between the two hands." And she said this, "I forgive you, brother. I forgive you with all of my heart." And for the longest time, they stood there with their hands grasped, and she was crying down her face, the former guard, the former prisoner. And she would later write, "I had never known the love of God so intensely until at that moment." Friends, I want you to know that is 100% genuine forgiveness. As we come to an invitation hymn this morning, maybe you're sitting here this morning And you have been struggling for a long, long time with rage and bitterness and brawling, and you need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it. Because I'm convinced of something. And Jim and I were talking about this just Friday evening. I believe that time is drawing near. I believe that Jesus coming, I don't know, I believe it's pretty soon. Anyone else? With everything that's going on in our world today, I believe that our timing on this earth is limited and Jesus is going to come back. Let me assure you something. You don't want to stand before God with this bitterness and rage in your heart. Get rid of it today. Let's pray. Father God, I thought I could just skip right over commandment number 6. Not so easy. Lord, there's been times that I have become angry. And Lord, there's been times that I feel like I have been a violation of commandment number 6. Even to the point of bitterness and rage. Lord, I know there are others sitting here that's in the same boat. Lord, if there's someone sitting here that needs to make a decision for you, I pray that they'll do that today. Because we know that if we want to be innocent in your eyes, then we must not just murder, but we must not be bitter or angry with our brother or our sister. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.